We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Field of 68 Media Network presents Red is the New Orange, a Syracuse basketball podcast.
Vince intercepts a pass, breakaway for the freshman guard. He flies and slams. Aerial assault from Judah Vince.
Looking to go back door to Bell. They get it to a near corner three, knocks it down. Chris Bell, the sharpshooter.
Bringing you everything you need to know out of the 315.
Up top, Williams surges ahead, up with the right hand and in. A pretty up-and-under move from Benny Williams to beat his man.
Over to Taylor. He skips into the lane, puts up a floater, and drops in.
Let's get it started with your hosts, Ian Unsworth and Johnny Gadamowicz.
Welcome back. What's going on? It's another edition of Red is the New Orange, part of the Field of 68 Podcast Network. As always, Johnny Gadamowicz with you. Normally, it would be Ian Unsworth as well, but no Ian today. He had a little bit of a busy weekend. He's taking a breather, but don't worry. Don't worry. Standing in Ian's place, we have Ethan Frank, Syracuse senior, WAER Sports Talk director, co-host of the Ostrom Avenue podcast that yours truly was on back when I was a Syracuse student. So this, as you just said before we hopped on the air, Ethan, is going to be a trip down memory lane. Great to have you on the show, and thanks for doing it, my friend. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's an absolute honor. When I got the text from you and Ian last night, it was music to my ears. I had been waiting for the invitation because I love talking basketball with the two of you. So I'm very excited to be here and a whole lot to discuss.
We have a lot to break down. Syracuse takes down Notre Dame over the weekend in a game that was probably a little bit closer than it should have been, but more on that in a little bit. Ethan, you were in the house as a fan. And I'm really curious to pick your brain about what this game was like, Jim Boeheim Day, from a fan standpoint. Did it have a similar level of buzz to a Duke game, to a North Carolina game, to the Wake Forest game last year that we all kind of maybe felt could have been Boeheim's last game in the Dome?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You listed all the things I do. That was this Notre Dame game is the only game I've attended all season as a fan. But I made sure it was going to be the only game I attended all season as a fan because I knew I wanted to be there because of how important it was to me as someone who has grown up as involved with Syracuse basketball with a parent as an alum. You grow up a fan, then you're covering the team. So it's a little bit different, but you still have those, Syracuse roots at heart. But I would compare. It was very similar to the Wake Forest game last year. And I was also at that game as a fan because, those are the types of games you want to be at as fans. Like an ordinary, a Tuesday night game against Virginia Tech, I could go and I could have a great time. But like the games you want to go to as a fan, if you're a Syracuse lifer, are the games where, they're honoring the 2003 national championship team and retiring Hakeem Warrick and Jerry McNamara's number, or they're honoring Jim Boeheim, who literally has put the city of Syracuse on a map forever.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Every single time out in the game, there was a video message on the board from a player, a peer, someone, whether it was, a politician. There could have been so many different types of messages for Jim Boeheim. And it was really cool to see. He sat next to his wife, Julie, and Dave Bing the entire game, his wife and probably his best friend. So it was a spectacle. and Jim Boeheim got the ovation and the ceremony he deserved.
Yeah, the guest list was absolutely absurd. Looking at some of the people that were in the house, some of the pictures that were posted on Syracuse basketball's social media channels. I do have to say, though, no Carmelo in the building.
You know, I heard rumors that he was going to be there, and then he was not there. And then he was at the Knicks game last night.
Well, I can confirm that my sister was in attendance at the Lujah game on Saturday that Melo's son is on, and Melo was at the Lujah game and then the Knicks game that night. So we'll cut him some slack. Nothing wrong with going to see your son play and then watch your former team play in the World's
Most Valuable Player. He gave a very nice video tribute. He had it with all his Syracuse gear on, you know, of course, Melo with his sunglasses on.
Yep.
He gave a very nice video.
I'm sure he did. It was also interesting to see that he praised Red Autry. Right. And I saw a lot of talk on Twitter. Look, this guy tells it like it is. If Red wasn't doing a good job, he wouldn't say Red's doing a good job. So that was an interesting takeaway. And then it was really cool to kind of just see him reflect and talk about just how much the city of Syracuse means to him. I mean, you mentioned it, Ethan. Put it on the map. When you think about the fact that this guy from an early stage in his life and then really up until now, and let's call it like he is an old man, he has been in Syracuse. And he has been the guy in Syracuse. And Syracuse basketball is synonymous with Jim Boeheim. And this was something me and Ian were talking about on our previous episode last week, how, you know, he never really got the farewell tour. And I'm not a farewell tour guy at all. But it feels like for someone who has literally given their life to the program, because that's what he's done, right? Let's be real. He has dedicated his life to Syracuse basketball. And with the way, with how weird, we don't have to rehash how weird the end to last year was, but it felt like a day like Saturday was not only a long time coming and overdue, but also something that really needed to happen sooner rather than later. And I'm glad hearing it from you, a fan in the building, that it sounds like the university really got it right and did it.
They did. I mean, could they have gotten it more right? I don't know. I don't know, like, how they got all the former players. I would think they offered to fly them all out. I guess it depends on where you're living.
Right.
But, like, I was a little surprised someone like Derek Coleman wasn't there, being, you know, was number one pick in the NBA draft in 1990, led Boeheim to his first Final Four in 1987. And, you know, there are some people that weren't there, like, you know, members of the 2003 team, like a Josh Pace or a Hakeem Warwick. You know, there are some people, but like if people are living on the West Coast, it's not easy to fly out to Syracuse for a weekend. Like it's hard. But 50 former players around that number. I mean, you had videos from everyone. I thought the best video was from Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino gave a tremendous video.
Was he wearing a white suit?
He was not wearing all white suit because he said he bought that yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was not. Gino Auriemma had a very funny video. And it was funny because they were playing all the videos on the Jumbotron and it has subtitles. So Gino Auriemma had this line where he was like, you know, people say Jim Boeheim is an old man, a curmudgeon. He doesn't like anything. And you can see in the subtitles that his next line was, that's all true. But there was like a dramatic pause. So like it kind of ruined Gino Auriemma's dramatic delivery of his line in his video, which I found quite humorous. But he still gave a very nice video. You know, Coach K gave a video. He was booed. On the Jumbotron. Yes. Going back to your question about whether, I mean, I was at the North Carolina game 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's just different. Like it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
And also the crowd was so second half nervous energy the whole time yesterday too. Whereas the crowd in the North Carolina game was in it from the start. And because Syracuse played so well, they were in it the whole way through. So it was just a different type of energy and a different type of crowd. There were a lot of people, especially in the student section, that did not stay for the ceremony, which I was very embarrassed as a student to see that. Because it's like you wouldn't know of this university if it weren't for Jim Boeheim. Like,
yeah,
Jim Boeheim is Syracuse,
particularly an afternoon game.
Yeah.
Right. Like, where is everybody running to at 3 o'clock on a random Saturday during basketball season?
It was a very poor sight to see. As people were walking by me, I was muttering to the people next to me, I'd be embarrassed. It's such a shame.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, and you know, a lot of people stayed. There were thousands of people there. They brought in Mike Tirico to master of ceremonies, MC the event. And he did a terrific job. He got the whole crowd to boo Georgetown. That was great. It was just a different kind of energy, but it was just a really cool thing to experience.
I'm sure. Glad to see Jim got his flowers. Jim got his day. And now he has a very nice banner hanging up, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is double the size. It's double the size of
the size based on what I saw.
He's in the same section as the three players that won him a national title and who he calls the best player in the history of the program in Dave Bing. He got emotional talking about Dave Bing during his speech to the crowd. Jim Boeheim deserved this and more. I mean, he'd given his life to Syracuse, and he just continued to thank the fans for everything they've done, because people in Syracuse love basketball more than anything.
They love basketball. That's certainly right, Ethan. In terms of the basketball on the court, let's talk hoops now in terms of X's and O's from this past weekend, because I think fans looked at this game, a Notre Dame team kind of in the cellar of the conference, even though they had won a couple and kind of had things moving in the right direction, and thought, okay, home game late in the year, like this is a gimme, right? Like, this is when you go out there, you know, JJ obviously going up against his old team. I don't think a lot of people thought this was going to be as close as it was. And for 20 minutes of play, it wasn't, right? I know Notre Dame went on that mini run there. What was it? A 9-0 run to end that first half and make things interesting going into the break. But I think from a Syracuse standpoint, to allow 56 points in the second half is concerning. And look, we're at the point in the year now where all that really matters is you find a way to win, and you're not so much thinking big picture, so to speak, more so just focused on each game and doing what you have to do to get a win in that game. But for me, if you would have told me prior to this game you're going to allow 85 points to a Notre Dame offense that is towards the bottom of the ACC.
Well, it's not only towards the bottom of the ACC. On Friday night when I checked KenPom, they were 292nd in KenPom in offense of efficiency. Right. There are only 362 teams in college. Like, they're really bad.
Most of it was Marcus Burton. They had no answer for Burton in the second half in particular.
Yeah. And Micah Shrewsbury's son, Braden, he had quite the second half as well. I will say, Micah Shrewsbury, interesting. Interesting coach to watch as a fan. He was getting after Chris Bell in the first half after Bell, you know, like, turned to the bench and made a couple threes.
Yeah.
Pretty thin skin of Micah Shrewsbury, what was going on. But I honestly kind of think that if Syracuse, you know, they're up by 15 on NC State, they're up by 29 on Notre Dame. If those are both blowout wins, I do think the perspective on the Orange is a little bit different than winning by four and winning by three, because we know, as the predictive metrics and the networks, that the bigger margin you win, the better you look. Yes, you just want to get the W, but I do think the perception of Syracuse would be a little bit brighter if they had won at NC State by double digits, if they had held on to this 20-point halftime lead against Notre Dame instead of it being super nervy and Notre Dame having a chance to tie down the stretch.
Yeah, as they should have, right? I think that's the whole point here, in that this was a Syracuse team that should have put them away. The fact that Notre Dame made this interesting raises a lot of concerns in my eyes. I mean, you think about the way they shot the ball in the second half, right? The Irish shot nearly 70% from the floor, 22 of 32 in the second half. And I know this Syracuse
and Boeheim mentioned that in his speech. He's like, we forgot to play a little defense there in the second half.
Yeah. Well, good on Jim for acknowledging it and continuing to find a way to hold his players accountable and throw shade even after he's no longer at the helm of this program. But yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a game where, look, anytime you have five guys who score in double figures and your best player pours in 21 and gets to the line and has three steals like Judah Mintz did, you'll take your chances. And again, it's not like this is a December, January game where it's, oh my gosh, how is this defense going to hold up over the long haul of a season? I think for me, it's just more frustrating that, like, here we are in late February and you allow Notre Dame to put up a 50 piece in the second half. That just shouldn't happen, period.
Yeah, at one point on KenPom, and I'll continue to reference it because I do enjoy their metric. Syracuse was around 150 in offense and like in the top 35 in defense. And over this last stretch with how many points they allowed to Wake, then to Louisville, and then, you know, these last couple of games, both in the 80s as well, the defense is down to 82nd in efficiency. Well, the offense has moved up into the top 100 at 99th. But it's interesting how it's fluctuated as the course of the season has gone on. The defense has gotten worse. The offense has gotten better, mostly because of Chris Bell's shooting.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Has it hit you yet, Ethan? And this is something that is a little different than specific to this Notre Dame game, but I'm just curious as someone who has gone through it not too long ago myself. Has it? Obviously, we know that this Syracuse team is not really tournament bound unless they go win an ACC title.
I think there's a very small chance if they are able to somehow beat Clemson on the road.
On the road,
there's
right.
A path, right?
Okay, so then I think I know what the answer to this question is going to be. I was going to say, has it hit you yet that senior year covering the team, it's going to be another team that fizzles out and has no basketball in March?
I feel like this team could be an NIT team. That's not exciting.
Well, I should have phrased that question.
It's not a tournament team. It's like. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, there's no other way around it. It stinks. I'd love more than anything for this team to be a tournament team. My favorite sports memories are Syracuse NCAA tournament wins. Because, you know, Johnny, as a fellow Mets fan, they don't give us much to cheer about in October.
Oh, no.
Football hasn't been much better either. But, you know, when it comes to Syracuse basketball, there's nothing more I want than for them to be successful. And they do still have a very slim chance. They're not on the bubble, but they're not off it. So they just got to survive in advance. I mean, we can talk about this Virginia Tech game, but I said it on one of our sports programs on W8ER on Friday night that, I mean, the flashing lights are going off. And I said this before Notre Dame, it's just trap game, trap game, trap game, trap game. Because this reminds me so much of this Florida State spot a month ago, where you win on the road at Pittsburgh, you win on the road at NC State, then a huge Saturday emotional win over Miami, and just a complete letdown against Florida State, a huge emotional win over Notre Dame, and Tuesday night just feels like a letdown. I think, you know, maybe the taste left in Syracuse's mouth of not playing as well in the second half maybe helps a little bit to avoid that kind of letdown.
Yep.
And Adrian Autry knows this team has to win every single game moving forward to have some sort of a chance. But it still feels very trap gamey against a Virginia Tech team coming off a 15-point loss at Pittsburgh.
Well, we will get into the Hokies. We will get into the remaining schedule for Syracuse. And Ethan seems to think maybe a slight chance that they, again, put themselves in the conversation. We'll break that all down after a couple of short messages from Rob Doster.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 as we all get ready for the best month of the year, March Madness. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD150 and you will get $150 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $5 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD150. That's FIELD150. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD150 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available in one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in Philly or New York, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create a new account in each state. It's easy, it's simple, and it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the conference tournaments and for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and my personal favorite, a nice little parlay boost here and there. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Big news, guys. I am thrilled to announce that we have partnered with Autograph, a company founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph fandom app gives you access to the best college hoops content, fan contests, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, all for doing the things that diehard fans like you already do, following your favorite team in the news and listening to podcasts just like this one. When Tom, and yes, I am calling him Tom, we're on a first name basis these days, co-founded Autograph, he had one mission in mind: change the fan experience for the better. It works like this. You get all of your college hoops content you want in one place. You get articles from your favorite writers, pods from your favorite hosts, contests from your favorite creators, all on the feeds and the sites that you already enjoy. But instead of having to go to all these different places, it all comes to you in one spot, the Autograph fandom app. But here's the best part. The more content that you consume, the higher you rank in the app. As you consider to level up in status on the app, you can unlock unique rewards curated exclusively for you. So download the free Autograph app in the App Store and use the referral code F68, that's F68, or tap in at the link in the description below or in the podcast app of your choosing to start earning points for doing something as normal as listening to this very podcast.
Three games to go for the Orange, Virginia Tech, Louisville, and Clemson as we welcome you on back to Red is the New Orange. Again, no Ian today. Johnny Gadamowicz and Ethan Frank hanging out with you. Be sure to give him a follow on Twitter at Ethan G. Frank, part of Syracuse's esteemed Newhouse class of 2024, does all sorts of student media stuff up in the 315. Make sure you give him a follow. Check out all his great content. You were on the call, Ethan, for that Quadir Copeland buzzer beater against Miami. And I rewind back to last year, Copeland's freshman year, when you and I were co-hosting a podcast together. You've been on that man since day one. And I will say this, assuming Chance Westry sticks around and comes back healthy next year, kind of a similar style, I guess, to Copeland, and Quadir's still here next year, which I think we'd both be heartbroken if he wasn't, those are going to be two extremely fun, flashy guards to kind of see going together next year. A nice little 1-2 punch, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, when I start to think about next year, you think about the fact that Judah Mintz probably won't be on the team. He'll probably test the professional route. I think it would be awesome for Quadir to become the starting point guard. He would be, as a junior, be experienced after playing so much this year, and just be ready for that role. He's so ready for the spotlight. He's the energy guy. Everyone loves playing with him. Him and Malik Brown have tremendous chemistry. And it would be so good for JJ Starling to alleviate ball handling duties and have him just be a secondary playmaker and a scorer. On Friday night as well, I am starting to see the way Tyus Battle scored for Syracuse, I'm starting to see that's how JJ Starling is scoring. There, you know, there are the spot up threes, but also just how he weaves through the mid range. And he's got the little floaters too that Tyus had. Tyus is definitely better finishing through contact around the rim. I think JJ could get better in that department, but the way they shoot in the mid range, working around screens, working through defenders, I think is very comparable. I heard a Chris Paul comp too for JJ's mid range game, which I liked. I just think this Tyus comp is a little bit better to relate it to Syracuse. And I know Tyus is a little taller, a little bigger, but I think it works well. Have him as the two. And then I Justin Taylor, I feel like would as a role player off the bench would be much more effective not being in the spotlight for him. And then have Westry be the guard off the bench, I think would be tremendous as a playmaker in that Copeland role from this year with size and length. But I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves.
We got a whole summer. We got a whole summer to think about that. We got a whole summer to see how things come together heading into next season. But I think it is relevant, Ethan, in that, you know, like, that's why I think it kind of stinks that these games don't matter a little more. Like, as awesome as it is that you've got a team that is essentially all sophomores, right? And they're going through these growing pains together. I'd make the argument, what good are those growing pains and learning and developing as a unit if the writing is kind of already on the wall? Now, you seem to think it's not, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you think there is, you said earlier on in the program that there could be a slight chance you get that.
Yeah, it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
I'm not of the same frame of mind. I think this team has shown time and time again that they are not an NCAA tournament.
No, no, they're not. But that's just because you're not a tournament team doesn't mean your chances of making the, like, is the holistic Syracuse team a tournament team? No, no, they're not. But just because you say that doesn't mean they do still have a chance to become a tournament team. I think
right.
And Jim Boeheim said it. He opened his speech word for word, quote, I could do it. Despite what Mr. I can't do it justice.
Yeah,
the
voice is only at 65%.
Yeah, so he's said, despite what Mr. Lenardi says, we're still on the bubble. And that got the crowd going.
Right, right. Well, for me, I get what I'll say is eye test wise, I am fully convinced this team is not an NCAA tournament team. But getting back to the larger point, like, you know, I think that's why it's almost such a bummer that these guys, like, okay, a lot of them year two now, right? And it sort of feels like last year all over again. Now, this is something.
I don't think so.
You know,
I think it's different. Yeah, I mean,
different in that. Okay, it was the Joe and Jesse have roles now.
Yeah,
like, okay, yes, you go, you go.
I think it's like when you have a Joe and you have a Jesse last year, then I think that makes it a lot different. At this point in the season compared to last point in the season, I feel like these are two completely different teams. I think there's going to be a lot of work for Adrian Autry to do, with this roster in the off season. Like, I mean, last year I was so out on Chris Bell, and I mean, how can you not be more in on Chris Bell right now, the way he's shooting the basketball?
Yeah.
And if next year, like we're talking about, you got Copeland and Starling in the backcourt and you have Bell as a three, and then you have an actual four in Donnie Freeman.
Yep.
And then or maybe you start in Malik Brown at the four and you have a different center, or it's Naheem McLeod in a limited role, or it's Freeman helping, you know, being 6'9", helping Brown out in the paint. Unlike Justin Taylor, who's only 6'6". Justin Taylor, no offense to him, I think he'd be a great seventh or eighth man.
Yeah.
He's not a starter. Like, no. That's just how it is right now. And maybe by the time he's a senior, he could be a starter. But at this point right now, I think Justin Taylor would be terrific as a seventh or eighth guy and someone coming off the bench, giving you 15 minutes a night where he's not asked to guard power forwards.
Right.
If Justin Taylor and Chris Bell are swapping roles, I think that is way more effective than them playing together.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Last year's team was checked out, like effort department, like they were just not in it. This year's team, you don't feel that at all. I'll agree with you there.
No, but like, I mean,
results-wise, is it really all lost, that different? I don't think so.
I mean, what, last year they lost four games in a row by 20 points?
Yeah.
And then win that Wake Forest game. This year, the only game where they quit was the Wake game.
Right.
And, I mean, I've never seen it. Like, that was the press conference from Adrian Autry after that game.
Yeah, he apologized.
He apologized. And I think something got through after that, because they haven't, that has not compounded. Obviously there have been letdowns, like Clemson, like Georgia Tech. There have been letdowns. This team, I mean, these two games are the first time they've won two games in a row since that Pittsburgh Miami stretch I mentioned. Yeah. They've been so up and down. They haven't won more than two games in a row since November, December, excuse right. me. But they just haven't quit, and they're still developing. They're young. This is a team starting five sophomores. We cannot forget that. And things are going to look a lot different next year, but I give a huge, huge kudos to Adrian Autry for adjusting on the fly as a first-year head coach. He clearly has to deal with a lot of egos and personalities on this team, because you know exactly how Judah's feeling by looking at his face. You know exactly how Bell's feeling by looking at his face. Obviously, the Benny situation, he's had to deal with a lot, all while following Jim Boeheim. He deserves so much credit for what he's done, and I think this is just the start. I'm really looking forward to what he can do as he starts to really implement his culture with guys that he and only his staff are recruiting that didn't have any Boeheim influence.
Right, and I think that's a great point on your end. You think about all the highs and lows that this season has brought. Right. Like, it's been a roller coaster. And I know that's maybe a phrase that is overused a little bit. But in the narrative of this Syracuse season, I think it really applies when you think about the Benny situation, the Miami win, losing to a team like Georgia Tech, beating a team like North Carolina. Like, and this is, and I don't know how this will sound, but I think you would agree with me, Ethan, in that, like, this is an emotional team, like in a good way. Like, this is a team that when they're yes. high, they're high. And when they're low, they're low. And you tip your cap to Autry for being able to rein all that in and get results. In terms of Virginia Tech, first time the Orange will have seen the Hokies this year, a Hokies squad that doesn't necessarily knock your socks off, 7-9 in the ACC, 12-2 in Castle Coliseum, 1-8 on the road. Ethan, you'll be on the PXP, the play-by-play coming up.
That's me.
Later in the week, Tuesday night. Again, 1-8 on the road. If you're Syracuse and you get them at your place, I'm smiling from ear to ear when I see a stat like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a trap game. Because, like, you think, like with Florida State, like, oh, Syracuse doesn't lose to, like, these staunch ACC teams at home. They just don't. And I said that before, the Notre Dame game, just kind of, that's kind of different. But, like, you think, like, NC State? No, Syracuse doesn't lose to NC State at home. I said it before, Clemson, and Clemson got them, fair and square. But that was the first time in, what, 8 years that Clemson had won in the Dome?
Right.
Like, these aren't teams that come into the Dome and win. It's on Syracuse, though, to make a difference. You know, it's a Virginia Tech team that the metrics like. I believe they're top 60 in the net, while Syracuse is at around eight in the mid-80s. So this would be a decent quad two win for the Orange if they can get it done. But I am feeling very trap gamey right here. Like, how does Syracuse respond from what is an emotional game on Saturday? Because the last time they did that, they came up flat.
In terms of what the Hokies bring to the table, it's two guys who kind of feel like they've been there forever in Sean Padula and Hunter Couture, particularly Couture, who I believe now is in his fifth year with the program. But I think from an Orange standpoint, this is a game you go out there and, you know, you kind of drop the hammer. I think you respond after a Notre Dame game where people expected you to win that game by double digits and you didn't. Now you say, okay, as you said, to your point earlier, Ethan, that second half, maybe a little bit of a wake-up call, right? You're locked in throughout this weekend, practice early this week, and you go out there and you play with some juice and you play with some energy and you start hot, right? Maybe you let, you know, Chris Bell knock down a couple early and you start out on a 10-2 run, a 12-2 run, and then you sort of make the Hokies play come from behind all night long. I think that is a formula that would really do well for the Orange.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to Bell, the way he's been making these threes, he, like,
even the contested ones, he's, find a way
he,
to go
he
was
doing, he did the one three. I remember that was awesome. I'm going to illustrate it for those watching. He did this twice where he like run the ball around the defender's face a couple of times and then just went right into shooting it, which that was unbelievable. How quick his release is and how he's able to make shots while moving right or moving left is so impressive. I think he's close to 43% from three on the year now. I mean, 8 threes in the first half against NC State. He's just a threat from anywhere. And you know what that does? It opens up the paint for the drivers, for Mintz and Copeland to get in the paint and find Malik Brown. Like if Chris Bell is not, If Chris Bell's being face guarded, then you know what that allows you to do? Have Justin Taylor make a cut on the baseline. And for what? Four layups against Notre Dame? They allowed the same thing four different times, and he got two and ones out of it and two made layups. He opens up the offense for everyone else.
I will say this, though. I don't expect a ton out of Chris Bell Tuesday night because at that point, it will have been three straight if he pieces together another really solid performance.
Yeah,
and if there's one thing we know about Chris Bell, consistency is not his middle name, to say the least. But it is Syracuse, it is Virginia Tech, and it is coming up this Tuesday night inside the Dome. You can listen to Ethan Frank on the play-by-play. If you're a radio guy, maybe you don't like tuning into those ESPNU broadcasts, which is what the game is on, if I'm not mistaken, on Tuesday night. You can find them over on WAER.org, 7 p.m. tip. Ethan, this was fun, man. Thanks for doing it. I appreciate you coming
up. Oh, thank you.
We will have Ian back later in the week. And as always, make sure you drop us a follow, a like, a subscribe. We're on Twitter at F68_Cuse. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you give Ethan a follow at Ethan G. Frank on Twitter. All sorts of great stuff. Also writes for Orange Fizz, a very popular Syracuse sports media outlet. All sorts of great articles there. So if you're a Syracuse fan, Ethan is a follow that is well worth your time. So make sure you check out his stuff. We will be back on Friday to break down the Hokies game on Tuesday night and then preview a trip out to the KFC Yum Center for a Saturday night game against the Louisville Cardinals. But until then, alongside Ethan Frank, I'm Johnny Gadamowicz saying so long. Enjoy the game on Tuesday. We will speak with you Friday. Go Cuse.